Right. Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me, and thank you for taking the time to be here with us today at this very important event for our community and for SIHR. So every year, about 200 million women in the developing region want to avoid pregnancies, but they cannot because contraception is not available to them. Around 45 million women receive poor quality or no antenatal care at all. Around the world, 25 million unsafe abortions take place. Nearly 2 million people become newly infected with the HIV virus at some point in their lives. 2 in 3 women will be victims of gender-based violence, and often at the hands of an intimate partner. And like Sarah just said, ultimately, almost everyone of reproductive age, about 4.3 billion people, will not have access to at least one essential or reproductive health interventions over the course of their lives. I could go on, but this is just some of the evidence that demonstrates that we still have a lot of work to do if we want to ensure that everyone, no matter who they are and no matter where they are, have access to sexual and reproductive health and reproductive rights. The Gutmacher-Lancet launched its report in May 2018, Accelerate Progress, Sexual and Reproductive Health and Rights for All. The Commission puts forward a vision for sexual and reproductive health and reproductive rights for all, or as we call it, SRHR, that is affordable, attainable, and essential to the achievement of health for equitable development and human rights. At IPPF, we welcome the report. We welcome the report because we felt it is a critical addition to support the SRH community, not only in achieving the Sustainable Development Goals, but also to take us beyond them. The report, with the seal of scientific quality and scrutiny of the Gutmacher-Lancet Commission, presents a comprehensive, evidence-based, integrated vision of SRHR that recognizes that improving health depends on rights. For a long time, many policymakers have taken a narrow view of sexual and reproductive health and rights, a view that often will exclude the rights component, sometimes sexual rights, sometimes reproductive rights. However, this report makes it very clear that achieving human rights for all, as well as achieving the Sustainable Development Goals, will require a broader vision from countries. We have made considerable health gains since the world leaders reached a milestone agreement on universal access to sexual and reproductive health about 25 years ago at the International Conference on Population and Development in Cairo. However, full achievement of reproductive health, reproductive rights, sexual health, and sexual rights remains very hard and sometimes even impossible for a lot of people. These gaps in access to SRHR take an enormous toll. They take an enormous toll on individuals, on communities, and also on national economies around the world. Closing these gaps will require a holistic approach from all countries, an approach that includes the rights of individuals to make decisions about their bodies and their lives, free of stigma, free of discrimination, and free of coercion. The Commission recommends an essential package of sexual and reproductive health interventions that should be universally available. This package includes components that countries usually focus on, such as contraception, HIV prevention, maternal and newborn health. But just as importantly, maybe even more importantly, it also includes often neglected components of sexual and reproductive health, such as abortion, infertility treatment, LGBTQI-friendly services, youth-friendly services, comprehensive sexual education, as well as the prevention, detection, and management of gender-based violence. The Commission, though, went further. They recommended concrete steps that countries should take to create an enabling environment for access to SRHR. For all, that includes actions such as legal reform, combating negative social and gender norms, incorporating sexual reproductive health into universal health coverage, and more. As I said earlier, the Commission has put forward a vision that is affordable and attainable. And this is very important. It is a very important detail, particularly for developing countries. As you probably know, around the negotiation of the SDGs, negotiating the financing of the SDGs, aside from negotiating the SRHR components of the agenda, was probably one of the trickiest points for countries to find agreement. And as we know, you probably know here in DC, deciding who's going to pay for things can be a quite complicated conversation. So affordability, it is key to ensure political buy-in. In their approach, the Commission considers different levels of development and recognizes that while some countries will still require some level of official development assistance, ODA, some of them are in the position right now to start implementing some of these recommendations. In fact, in developing countries, an estimated $9 per person annually would cover the total cost of entirely meeting women's needs for modern contraception and providing health services recommended by the World Health Organization to all pregnant women. The Commission also recommends an integrated approach, as many sexual and reproductive health conditions are connected along the life cycle and overlap at specific stages, thus making the integrated approach services better positioned to address multiple needs and making it much more effective. The proposed integrated approach is not only affordable and can save lives, but can also save money, as it has the potential to reduce the cost of treating avoidable poor health outcomes. For example, investing in meeting the need for both contraceptive services and maternal and newborn health services would result in a net savings of $6.9 billion, billion with a B, in developing regions, compared with investing in maternal and newborn health care services alone. This is an important point, again, which is reflected and repeated across the SDGs. Spending money now, making corrective policy actions now, can save huge economic benefits for the future. Finally, the Commission makes a series of very practical recommendations, the prioritization and implementation of which will, of course, depend on each country's context, where they are on the ground, their realities, both in terms of infrastructure, policies, laws, human resources, etc., as well as how far they come and already implementing those services and achieving access to SRHR to all. I will not mention all of the recommendations. I do not want to put you to sleep. It's long. But do allow me to just touch upon a few of them. First, provide access to safe abortion services and liberalize abortion laws where necessary. You could guess that I was going to start with this one, right? It is the right of every woman to make decisions about their body. Yeah, I'm going to repeat that. It is the right of every woman to make decisions about their body, to decide freely on if, when, and how many children to have. Evidence shows that legal restrictions on abortion do not reduce the occurrence of abortions. Abortion rates are the same in countries where the procedure is prohibited as in countries where it is legally available. You know what would make a difference, though? Contraception. Let's get contraception into the hands of women that want to control their fertility, that want to plan their pregnancies. That will make a difference. Liberalization of laws would, however, save women from the health dangers of unsafe abortions and considerably decrease countries' maternal mortality rates related to unsafe abortions. Second, support changes in laws, policies, and social norms and structures that enable all people to understand, protect, and fulfill their sexual and reproductive health and rights, and to respect the rights of others. Creating an enabling environment to implement these recommendations will be a key factor. Most places that are far behind in achieving SRHR for all will have to work really hard to create such a space. Changing laws is important, but changing long-standing negative gender and social norms is just as important. They go hand in hand. In a recent visit to a Caribbean country, I witnessed just how strong a role social norms play in maintaining the status quo, even when the government takes steps to make policy changes. We cannot stand idly by and expect our world to bend in a favorable trajectory. It is for us in this room and countless others who feel the same across the world to do the work to bend our futures and our societies toward empowerment, equality, and humanity. As advocates for rights and gender equality, we can play a very important role in moving the needle on this issue. Third, progressively expand access to an essential integrated package of sexual and reproductive health interventions, ensuring that the need of vulnerable and marginalized populations are addressed. If you haven't spent any time negotiating or in the rooms negotiating the SDGs, you know that leave no one behind is probably the most well-known motto of the SDGs. And there is a reason. We have indeed made progress in many areas of SRHR, but this progress is not felt by all. There are still great health disparities, specifically disparities related to SRHR. We must increase our efforts to reach those populations that are hardest to reach, that are marginalized, minorities, populations that are vulnerable or are living in vulnerable situations. These categories obviously will change depending on where you are and in the region of the world, but this is a reality. You can find those populations just about everywhere. We're talking about refugees. We're talking about migrants. We're talking about indigenous people. We're talking about people of African descent. We're talking about LGBTQI people, just to name a few. Fourth and last, address sexual and gender-based violence through policy changes, services, and prevention programs. At United Nations, at the High Level Political Forum, that is the space that we use to present progress on the implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals. Every single country that have came to report on Goal 5 is the gender goal, and this goal has a specific target that talks about gender-based violence. Every country that presented in that goal reported, regardless from where they were, from the Global South, from North, developed, developing country, reported that they are still struggling to end gender-based violence. Gender-based violence is truly an universal problem. Must continue to collect evidence. We must continue to scale up programs that work. We must continue to try to change social and gender norms that perpetuate those behaviors, as well as finding new approaches when those are needed. The reality is that this is not linear. Most of these recommendations intersect with each other, and in the end, ideally, countries will be able to implement them all by following the evidence-based, progressive, integrated approach that I just presented here. There is a reason why evidence-based is becoming a controversial phrase in some spaces. Evidence and facts are hard to ignore. They are hard to refute. It is much easier to polarize an issue and reduce debate to opposing ideologies if facts and evidence can be ignored. The Commission's approach, though, clearly shows that human rights and gender equality are not ideological totems, but in fact, they are tools and drivers which can have huge benefits for our societies if they are applied and if they are protected. Evidence shows that access to sexual reproductive health services saves lives, promotes gender equality, evidence shows that access to SRHR also increases productivity and household income and has multi-generational benefits by improving children's health and improving children's well-being. This is why the Guttmacher-Lancet Commission could not come at a better time. It is indeed the call to action that is required, showing us that comprehensive sexual and reproductive health and rights must be ensured for all. The rights-based roadmap approach proposed by the Commission, it is the way to accelerate progress for SRHR. It is the way to achieve sustainable and equal development for all. And ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, the time is now. Thank you.